Good morning again. If everybody would turn to Mark 4, 35. We'll be through 35 through 41. Can't tell, I'm very nervous again. We'll be all right. So the title of the sermon is, Where is Your Faith? Last time we did a sermon on Sunday, I struggled a lot with even finding what to preach on. This time, come pretty easy. Once I figured out what I was preaching on, everything just flowed. I hope I can portray it to you the way it came to me, because I got quite a blessing out of it. So where we'll start, before verse 35, the previous verses is the parables. So my first point tonight, today, is the parable preaching. So disciples were with Jesus, and he is doing the parable preaching. They've heard such good words. I mean, not just from a good preacher, but from the greatest. I mean, he taught with authority. It would have had to have been something to hear him. And they heard this for most of the afternoon. He did some things previous to that, but most of the afternoon he was just teaching the multitudes. Taught about the sower, taught about the candle, taught about the mustard seed, some of the three greatest parables that he ever taught. They had to be on fire at that point. I can imagine it's kind of like being at a revival, being all day hearing preaching, and you're just on fire. I mean, it's absolutely great. You do that all day, and then you go home, and you know you're headed to home, and you're just going to finish out the night. It's just going to be a great night. Well, that's where we come into verse 35. It says, "And the same day, when the even was come." Well, there they are. The even was come. They're getting ready to get in a boat. They're there. Life is great. They're on top of the mountain. They don't really have any problems in sight at this point. They don't know what they're about to go through. But Jesus does. And it says, He saith unto them, and this is point two, the promise. He said, Let us pass over unto the other side. So they're on this side of the lake. They don't know what's on the other side. They don't know what's going to happen in the middle of it. They don't know there's a storm brewing. They have no idea. But one of the biggest points I want to bring home today is he said, let us pass over unto the other side. He didn't say, I'll meet you there. I'll be on the other side waiting on you. Nope. He said, I'm going with you. This is a point that really touched me this week. He promised them they were going to the other side. They didn't know the storm was going to be there, but he already promised them, we're going to the other side. We'll be there. It's a promise. I've already said it. Doesn't matter what problem it is. Doesn't matter what storm it is. I've already promised it. We're there. Which is what, at the time, they didn't understand. And it's just like the storms that we have. Any storm that arises, you know, this side is pretty easy. You know, we have no problems on this side. It's the other side we have the problem with. It's getting there. It's going through the storm. That's where we have our problem. That's where we fall short. But he said, let us pass over to the other side. He was saying, we're going to the other side. It's already been written. It's already been said. Promise is already done. Just like every storm that we go through, promise is already said. We're going to the other side. He's going with us. He's not just going to meet us there. Like I said, we're going together. I think we forget that a lot when we're going through our storms. I know I do. a lot. So first we had the parable preaching. Number two, we had the promise. Number three, we have the problem. So if we read verse 36, and when they had sent away multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. The first part under the problem or the storm, everybody's got a problem. Everybody's got a storm. We don't always see it. People like to hide it. It's not visible for us to see, but everybody has a storm. We don't know what anybody's going through. Not just everybody here, everybody in the world has a storm. The just and the unjust have the problems. It's not just Christians. We're the ones that are tested. If we talk about storms a little bit, you know, when we look at storms, sometimes we'll look at a weather map and, you know, we see a storm coming. And it might be headed straight at us. Maybe it diverts a little bit. Maybe it breaks up. Maybe the storm doesn't hit us. Maybe it barely hits us. Maybe sometimes we get just the tail end of it. That's not the storm they were talking about here. The storm hit them head on and had no idea it was coming. There are a lot of times in life that we come to a storm that just hits us head on. We don't see it coming. It just blindsides us. But with that, he talks in here about the waves beat into the ship. The great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship. I don't know about you, but I've been in a storm before where I've been beaten. They were in the boat, and the waves were coming from every side, punching them from every side. Some of us have been there. Some of us are going to be there. It's inevitable. If you're alive, you're either haven't gone to the storm yet, it's coming, or you're in the middle of a storm, or you've just gotten through the storm. But it's inevitable. A storm is going to hit. We have to be ready for it. Number four, verse 38, says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he was in the hinder part of the ship." Now, when I started reading this, I thought hinder part, you know, he was just in the back. Back's where it's steered. It's where it's all controlled from. Any kind of boat, rudder's in the boat, is in the back, motor's in the back, it's where it's controlled. And that's where Jesus was. The more I thought about this, though, is I thought he's in the driver's seat. Well, why is he in the driver's seat? He didn't just sit there. He didn't go there. If you go back to verse 36, it says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him." They took him and put him there. When life was grand, everything was going good, they put him in the driver's seat. He doesn't go there by himself. We have to put him there. If we want him to control our life, we have to put him in the driver's seat. He won't just do it himself. He wants us to need him. He wants us to ask. He didn't place himself in the controls. They did. When everything was easy, they let him in control. He was at the control, but asleep. Why was he asleep? Well, I think he was asleep because he was waiting for him to ask, for him to be in charge. He was resting back there. He was at the driver's seat, but he wasn't controlling it. He wants us to come to him to be in control. He wants that. So many times we go through life and we don't even ask him. You know, we go through it, we think we can handle it ourselves, every situation. We think we can handle it until we can't. That's what I do. That's what I constantly do. Then we go down to the end of verse 38. It says, "And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" I kind of insert myself in the story when I'm reading the Bible sometimes. Makes it a little funner. And the more I thought about this, it's like they didn't even ask for help. They're just, "Master, are we going to die now? Why do you not care? Why?" And I do that so many times. I try to control everything. Try to get through it on my own. And then when things are not going right, it's like, "Do you not even care? Do you not care what happens to us? Do you not care what happens in our storm?" You know, the storm of, there's many storms that we have. It could be a storm with our kids, problems with that, storm with our marriage. It happens. Storm with our church. Churches have storms. Do we just get to the place where we think we can control it ourselves? I do. I definitely do. But we can't do that. We need to come to him when the beginning of the storm. He's in the driver's seat. We need to make sure he's in control. We need to ask him for his help. Not just when it's out of control and the boat is filling up and we're about to go down. That's when we ask him. "God, why are you doing this to me? Why are we going to perish? Why?" They tried to weather the storm themselves, not asking for help. No positivity that it would be okay. I mean, he's already told them they're going to the other side. All they had to do was not worry. "It's going to be okay. We'll just ride it out." I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in the ocean or a sea like that when a storm comes. I haven't, but I've seen them. They're wild. I mean, it's, you know, every wave brings on water. That's where they were at. Everyone was bringing on water. They were going down like we do. I feel like we're drowning. Our boat's going under. We're going to capsize. They tried to weather the storm themselves. Then, when they finally realized it's too much, they reached out and pleaded for his help, pleaded that he would do something like we do. And next is where it gets interesting, I think. Number 6 is the peace. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now, if he had taken control, sat up in the boat, taken control, and gotten through the storm, that'd be wonderful. I mean, that would have just been great. You know, he steered him out of the storm, got him to land. You know, he was in control. We limit him and what he can do. He has no limits. We pray that he control the boat, when in all actuality, he can control the storm. That was one of the biggest points I found to myself this week, is a lot of times when I pray and I'm in a situation, I pray that, you know, he just guides me through it. We don't have to pray he guides me through it. Pray he controls the situation. And situation, the storm can diminish just if he speaks it. That's what we do so much in life is, you know, we want him to control the boat, but we don't ask him to control the situation. We definitely put limits on him when he has no limits. Something that really came to me with this when he stopped the storm, he didn't control the boat for the storm. He controlled the storm for the boat. That one really hit me hard, that he didn't control the boat, he controlled the storm. Our thoughts about God has limits. We think he has limits when he has none. Point seven. And some of these I really struggled. I was trying to come up with all of them with a P. Some of them was really hard. We had to really get in the brain and figure out something. Number seven, verse 40, the profound progress. Look at verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? If you look at Luke 8:25, same account. I like how Luke said it better. He said, where is your faith? Where is it? I think he related that for two reasons. I think he was telling them, rebuking them, saying, where is your faith? You have no faith right now. You have no faith that you get through the storm. You have no faith that you get through your trial. You just had no faith. Your faith was gone. But I also think he's saying, when he says, where is your faith, is who is your faith in? Not only that you have lack of faith, but who is your faith in? Is it in myself? Yeah, most of the time, it's in myself. Is it in man? Is it in the world? A lot of times it is. Or is it in God? In God, we know that he's already promised he'll get us to the other side. So why would we not? Why would we fear? I mean, if we already know, promise is already told, we're going to the other side. There is no reason to fear. There's all the reason to have faith. Yet we still do it. And it's just like the Israelites coming out of Egypt. They did it over and over again. I always revert back to them. I mean, took them out of a horrible situation. They were slaves. Took them out, and, you know, such a miracle that they even got out of there. Now we have no food. Are you going to kill us, God? We have no food. Okay. Well, now you get food. Well, now I have no water. Just keep grumbling. We just don't have. We don't have. We don't have. Instead of looking at the stuff that he's already provided and the situations he's already taken us through, knowing that he's going to take us through this one too, we just don't get it. And the Bible's full of the same accounts. It's the same thing over and over. Just don't get it. And yet we have the whole Bible at our disposal. We read it all, and we see that he took us through every time. But then we still get stupid. And we're like, I just can't make it through. I just can't do it. I have no food. I'm going to starve to death. All right, dummy, I've already gotten you through last time. Do you think I'll get you through this time? We do it every time. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's at this time they realized what he was capable of. Before, they thought he was just, you know, he could get him through it. They thought he'd get him through in the boat. He'd steer him out of the way, out of danger. Now they realize that even the wind and the sea obey him at just his command. Even though it says it in Genesis, that he spoke it and it was there. Just like we know, he spoke it and it was there. Anything needs is his word. He doesn't even have to do anything. It's just his word, and everything obeys. We forget that over and over and over. Feared exceedingly, even the wind and sea obeyed him. Everyone is going to be in a storm. Whether you're not there yet, you're going to be. Guaranteed. It's a promise. You're going to go through a storm. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now. Maybe it's a big storm. You just can't, the water just keeps coming in. You just can't get enough water out. It just keeps coming in. You're going to sink. You know you're going to sink. Or maybe you've just gotten out of a storm. Maybe you've just been rebuked and you've learned a lesson. Maybe it's fresh in your mind that you're just out of it. It's, you know, it's great. I'll just wait till the next storm comes. You're going to be in the same boat again. It's going to happen over and over. Are we going to learn anything from the storm we just went through? Or are we going back to just being in fear again? Are we going to forget His promise that He's already said He's going to take us through? Or are we just going to be fearful every time and not learn? I think that's the whole point of this whole account here, is learning from our mistakes. It's going forward, learning from our mistakes, and not only for ourselves, for our next storm, but for others. You know, we were talking a couple Wednesdays ago about comfort. You know, we comfort one another. You know, if somebody else is going in a storm and I've already been there, I can comfort them and tell them how to get through it. Amen. You know, if somebody else has been in the storm, they can help me. That's the point of a church, is to help one another. So to stay with each other, to love one another, to help each other through our times, to take on others' burdens. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." That's exactly what He did here. He was making them perfect, establishing them, strengthening them, and settling them. You know, they're going to go through much more than this. And they're going to fail. They are going to fail, just like we are. You know, you could be in a storm right now. Are you passing it? Are you flying with flying colors? Are you passing it? Are you failing it miserably? Like I usually do. I usually look at it and I fail miserably. If God's not in control, if God doesn't have the controls, you know, He's not sitting there and in control, then you're failing and you're going to fail for a lesson. That to me is the most important thing about this lesson right here, is learning from our mistakes and not failing in future ones. And knowing that He's already promised us we're going to the other side. It doesn't matter what happens. It could be the worst day of your life, but we're going to the other side. I know it's kind of a short message this morning. Everything went kind of quick, but it's what I had. So if Matthew and Angie want to come for invitation, play a song. Just something to think about. If you're going through a storm, let Him take control. If there's anybody here that doesn't have Him at the controls, they don't know Jesus. Jesus is not the center of their life. They haven't been born again. Today's the day that you can come and be born again, and you can put Him at the controls. Don't let today pass. Don't walk out that door. You're only a heartbeat away from hell. That's it, a heartbeat. You know, your next beat, it might not happen, and you'll be in hell. So if you don't know God, come to know Him. If you're going through problems, let Him be in control.